Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this October 18th, 2018. This is Peyman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Tonight, I'll be talking about, is the income tax a modern-day form of slavery? But before I cover the topic of the call tonight, I want to let you know that after the call, I will be answering your individual freedom questions free of charge. Every Thursday night, where I conduct these weekly commerce calls, I educate you about an important issue relating to your freedom, your rights, your property, how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. And at the end of the class, I open the conference call to your questions to help you meet the challenges you're facing from government attempting to steal your rights, your property, your money, your freedom, and help you live free and prosperous now by knowing and understanding the U.S. Constitution, the law, your rights, and how to properly assert and defend your rights, freedom, and property. In fact, that is why I founded Freedom Law School 23 years ago in 1996. To educate and empower my fellow Americans about freedom and legal issues of freedom, to use the law in your favor to live free now. While we work together, folks, as Americans to restore freedom, you could take action now as well. And that's the good news. And that's what sets Freedom Law School apart from many, many other freedom-oriented organizations and groups out there, is they talk about the freedom issues, but Freedom Law School offers solutions that will help you live free now as well. So if that interests you, you definitely want to go to our website at livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org. Go on to the Education Materials tab, and when you go there, you see a lot of good free information, start from the eye-opening education to the income tax reward and so forth. And just start listening and reading, because when you go there, folks, you just took the red pill of freedom. When you go to our website and check out this information, you just chose to get yourself the pill of truth, the truth that has been kept from you, been hidden from you. And that's the problem that we have in America, folks, that we're brought to the public fool system, lied to, deceived. And as adults, we know nothing about our rights. We know nothing about what to do or say if an IRS agent writes you a letter, a policeman stops you for a traffic ticket, or any other situation when an oppressive government agent or agency is contacting you. These guys are supposed to be your public servants. They're supposed to serve you. You are technically their masters. But how is it that our servants, folks, have more power than the masters? How is it that it seems we work for our servants? They make more money than us, folks. Government workers, on the average, make more than the average private sector American worker. It's just crazy. But The solution, folks, is with informed, educated action that FEAM laws to provide you. And I also have been saying for a long time that the income tax is a fraudulent imposition on the American people. The average American is not required to follow up income tax. It's a scam of the deep state going back way to the days of World War II and even before that, to how to deceive the American people into paying the tax that there's no law requiring them to do so. If you think the Russia conspiracy between Trump and Putin was a fraud lie, you know, by the Department of Injustice lawyers and the crooked FBI management, well, how about the income tax fraud, folks? That's by the IRS management, deep state, and the Department of Injustice lawyers and crooked judges. But we'll get into all that stuff later on. Some more, folks. Be sure to request your free freedom education package that you need to have by at our website at livefreenow.org. Go there, and on the front page, fill out the form to get your freedom education package mailed to you, and you will get emails also in the coming months to get the education you never had anyplace else before. So let's talk about it, folks, about is income tax a modern day slavery? Well, what is slavery? We cannot answer that question until we answer a question of what is slavery? Well, to compare that, give you an idea, the serfs in medieval Europe were slaves. And they owed everything to the landlord, the king. Okay? So in the sense that they had to pay rent in labor or a part of the crop. Okay, part of the crop that they raised, they had to give that to the manor. And the manor of the land paid that in turn to the king after keeping some of that. So basically, even though the serfs worked the land, the physical labor of the land was done by them, they did not get to keep what they worked for. The fact that a percentage of what they worked for, the fruit of their labor, was taken automatically by the Lord, by the manor of the land, and split between the Lord and the king, is what you call the very definition of slavery, in that you don't get to keep what you work for. And so, you know, this system of taxation was used in medieval England for royal and government expenses. Of course, after the Norman conquest of England in, you know, 1066, you know, they had customs and duties and guilds as well, but they kept this practice going for a long time of taking a percentage of the crop that the workers or the serfs of the land that supposedly own the land, but it doesn't matter if you own the land in name, but a percentage of the fruits of it, the product of it, goes to somebody else who did not lift one finger to do the work, or didn't lift one finger to supervise you and direct you and help you do a better job of getting a better crop. So that's what slavery, folks, was in medieval England. Okay. Well, eventually, you know, there was a peasants' revolt. Okay. And that system changed. Okay. They stopped that system of slavery in Europe, in England. Okay. You know, during the 15th century, you know, it just, that kind of system disappeared. And that's where we had the supposed enlightenment. We had the Renaissance in the 15th, 16th, 17th century. But then what happened is that, you know, you have in the late 18th and 19th century, they start having the income tax in England, where a percentage of what you make goes to the king. Now, America, folks, did not, excuse me, did not have an income tax at all, except a few years, excuse me, during the War of the States, the Northern War of Aggression, Lincoln's war against the South, where the South wanted to secede from the Union. They had every right to do so. For a few years during that aggressive war, Abraham Lincoln, the butcher, imposed that tax on Northerners, enslaved them to use that money to murder, slaughter, and enslave the Southern people as well. But after the war, a few years later, that tax was repealed. And in 1913, and what happened is about 1890, a new income tax was proposed, which the U.S. Supreme Court struck down in a case called Pollock. Okay? In a Pollock U.S. Supreme Court case, it was ruled to be unconstitutional to tax the income of the rental of the land, because it was considered that, hey, if you tax the income, the rent of the land, that's the fruit of the land, therefore you're taxing the land itself. So it was basically a property tax, a tax on your direct property that you own directly. The more land you had, the more rental it had, the more it was taxed. So because that tax was a direct tax, per the U.S. Constitution, folks, that had to be, that kind of tax had to be divided up, apportioned among the states. Well, that's a very cumbersome process, how to divide a tax amongst the states. And then, of course, naturally, the states would have to be the ones that collect it and give it to the federal government. Because the federal government was meant to be very, very small, you know, at that time. You know, it was not this giant labyrinth like we have right now. They did not have a bureaucracy in every state. So because that system was so complex, it was hardly ever done. It was very much resisted. That's why after the war of Lincoln's war in the South, after a few years of war, that tax was ended. So, the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution was proposed so that the super rich that had all the big tracts of land and had businesses and trusts and huge estates, they would pay the tax. Because back then, the federal government was ran on tax on imports, primarily. If you want to have something that was made in England or France or Germany, you'd pay the tax on that. Well, the average person paid that tax just as much as the super rich. So the average person paid the same tax rate as the very rich. And because a few people like the Rockefellers and Morgan and other railroad barons became so rich, this was a way to tax those super rich that have developed in the northeastern states like New York and Massachusetts and so forth. However, what happened is that the way the tax was written was deliberately vague and complex. They wrote it to tax foreigners. They wrote it to tax the very rich. So the average man didn't complain about it. He was not even affected by it. I mean, the first income tax exempted first time the first $50,000 of what you made for a living, your income. Well, $50,000 in today's money is about $5 million. Imagine, folks, anybody making under $5 million, you pay zero income tax. That was the first income tax after the 16th Amendment was ratified in 1913. Very few people were affected by the tax. It gradually raised the rate. And the super rich folks, the tax rates were so low. The highest tax bracket was 5%. It was 1%. Highest was 5%. The super rich paid the tax because, oh well, we're making so much. If when you make equivalent of today $5 million a year and you only pay 1%, think about it, folks. You make over $5 million, $5 to $6 million a year, and you only pay 1%. Are you going to really fight that, or are you just going to pay it and get over? That's how come the income tax did not have a resistance much at first. And it went through the late early 1910s, 1920s. In 1930s, during the Great Depression, it was raised somewhat. The amount of money you made to be subject to income tax was lowered. So the people that had businesses that were doing well did not mind contributing a little bit more to the government, to support the government in helping the poor. The average man who had lost his job and could not support his family had to stand in soup lines. Remember, there was no social security, you know, in the government programs at the time. And they kept lowering that tax. Then in mid-1930s, they came up with the Social Security Income Tax, which is written for foreigners. It had to be written over, by the way, twice. The first time it was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. It was ruled that you're taking from person A, giving it to B. Therefore, you took from person A money without any due process of law. No court hearing of any kind. No hearing of any kind. So the first Social Security tax was ruled to be unconstitutional. So Roosevelt, the second time, they had the Social Security money going directly into the U.S. Treasury, and the U.S. government can do whatever it wants with that money. It does not go to retirees. Technically, legally, that is how the law is written. There is no such thing, folks, as the Social Security Trust Fund. It's a big lie and a fraud. And to this day, IRS Code Section 3401, it's written to be a tax on government employees. Look at the definition of employees and employers. In 26 U.S.C. 3401, and it's government employees. But they applied that to the average American, of course, the tax rate was very, very low. I think it was about 1%, if I remember right. And so, again, there was very little objection and fight for those who had a job, had a, you know, to contribute to help some old person who might be going hungry. There was little resistance. And they got Americans used for the first time ever having money automatically stolen from their paychecks, from their wages and salaries. They call that withholding. Oh, such an innocent sounding name. Withholding. Huh. We withheld your money. It's got another more common known name called stealing. And the government liked that because the average man didn't notice money was missing from his paycheck. After a while, he got used to it. If he got paid $100 a week, well, now it's $99 or $98 automatically. Because that's what it is, the net amount. Once that got going and they were getting regular Americans, business owners, filing tax returns, Americans, even though the law was written for foreigners, Mexicans, Canadians, others coming to America to work. Yes, folks, people even back then came from Mexico, seasonal workers, to pick our produce in America during the planting and the harvesting season, and they would go back to the families in Mexico. Canadians also would come and work in America and go back. Those people were taxed for the money they made in America. The tax law was meant for them and maybe somebody else from Europe coming to America. But hey, we got Americans used to this thing, this income tax. And the Great Depression started in early 1930s. Did not really end until we got to World War II, when Pearl Harbor happened. It was a deliberate setup job by Roosevelt and his internationalist, satanic Zionist owners. By the way, I'm Jewish myself, so this is not a white supremacist theory. It's a fact. Okay? The international banksters that owned him, he worked for them. He was their agent, along with Churchill. They wanted to destroy the independent Germany, which had broken the back of the banks in Germany and got full employment and prosperity to its people. The only prosperous nation in the world at that time was Germany. America, England, France, Austria, the world was in Great Depression. And so to get U.S. into the war, Churchill and Roosevelt conspired and to get going a war against Germany through the back doorway. Japan and Germany were allies. If they got attacked, they would come to each other's help. So Roosevelt did a naval blockade of Japan. And Japan is a country that needs to import oil. It doesn't have oil. It gets destroyed without oil. Imagine that. If you import oil, you don't have any. So naval blockade of Japan was an act of war. But it is a passive kind of act of war. You don't quite see it. Like, you don't see in the battlefields, you know, people killing each other. So Japanese, to break that naval blockade, act of war, they attacked Pearl Harbor. That was the plan of Roosevelt, to set up the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. In fact, Roosevelt knew Japanese were coming to Pearl Harbor. The Japanese code was broken. The admiral of Pearl Harbor was not told of the attack. Deliberately, he was kept in the dark. Let all the ships be there undefended. so that for the television and for actually for movie theaters at the time, we showed the news, Americans could see how they were attacked by Japan and American people that before they were anti-war. They want to stick to our own business. We already were dragged into World War I. Okay? Didn't want to be dragged into another war in Europe. Now we got dragged into war because Japan attacked us and Congress dutifully declared war against Japan. And then Germany made a mistake of prematurely declaring war on America, primarily because America, Roosevelt, was behind the scenes arming the Soviets and England to a great degree, giving them lots of arms, lots of money loans. So that war got us into war against Germany and Japan. They went after Germany first. But here's the thing about income tax. It raised people's patriotism that, you know what, the government now says we all should have 5% withholding from our paycheck, the victory tax, to beat our enemies, the Germans and the Japanese. And Americans at that point started getting used to having money stolen from the paycheck regularly. It was a patriotic thing to do. Why? Because our sons, our brothers, our young fathers were out there fighting a war to defend America, we believed. And the women were forced into factories and farms to work, to produce, to support our sons and brothers and young fathers. So the women didn't mind. The old people didn't mind supporting our sons and brothers and young fathers to defend America, we believed. We didn't mind that. We allowed that money being taken from our paycheck to support our family. And in fact, the money got us out of the Great Depression, along with the federal government borrowing huge amounts from the international banksters, from the Federal Reserve banking system, and the banks creating money out of thin air, lending it to the U.S. government. We got out of the Great Depression. We're a prosperous country, full employment. Men out in the war, they're not unemployed. They're out there getting killed or be killed. Women out there working to even make up for the labor shortage. And that's how, folks, income tax slavery got going. 1942, the victory tax. After 2 years, the victory tax ended. It was repealed, actually. But they kept the stealing of money from America's paycheck going. Remember, in prosperity, the women, the older people did not mind supporting our sons, brothers and young fathers in the war front. So they kept that going, and Americans believed that they were subject of the income tax legally. They allowed the income tax as a patriotic gesture to support our sons, brothers and young fathers. We never questioned, does our government have the constitutional legal right to tax labor of Americans? In times of war, where we are under attack by foreigners, is no time to nitpick on minor little domestic issues. That was not seriously considered or discussed. A small business owner in Los Angeles called Vivian Kellum was the only person that we know of that objected to the income tax withholding. And the lawyers messed up her case. She lost in courts. But there was no widespread opposition to the income tax. And once this scam kept going in the mid to late 1940s, and then they, you know, in 1952, they got the income tax codified. The modern day income tax got codified in 1952. And then later on, it got changed to the 1986 revision. But really, the 1952 tax is the grandmother of our income tax slavery system we have today. And to create more confusion, folks, and keep the scam going, folks, what they did is this. Many other categories of federal law, federal government, because the laws become so voluminous, okay? What they did, the federal government just repealed all of them. Repeal all those categories of law about a subject matter. And so they just put a whole new set of laws that to replace them. To before, because the laws were written in as they came out of the roll of the presses type of thing. They got to be too much, you know, so they try to categorize them. They repealed all the laws about railroads, for example, American Indians, whatever. They were written over the decades, over a century. They repealed them, and they had them then reenacted. And the codes, which were now written in a very organized manner by subject matter of that field of law, those categories of law that were everything about American Indians, everything about the railroads, which was repealed, it was reenacted, made into law again. We know that's positive. We know that is what the law says very clearly. But with income tax, that wasn't done. When they wrote the Internal Revenue Code in 1952, they deliberately did not repeal all the old laws about taxes, then rewrite them in an organized matter by subject matter into the tax law in Title 26 or Category 26. So we don't know really is this tax law really the law? Title 26, Category 26, 26 U.S.C., United States Code, or not. We don't know, because it could be or may not be. It's assumed to be, looks like it is, but the roots of the law may go to, you know, 1932, 1925, 1914, you know, and mean something different than what the code looks like. It sounds confusing to you folks. Guess what? It was meant to be that way. They deliberately set it up this way, that you almost have to be a lawyer to study it, understand the scam, by making it complex and confusing you. You don't understand what's going on. All you know and all you do is trust and believe in your government, that we have a so-called democracy that represents us, represents our will of the American people. But as you know, it's not so. It represents the will of the big banks and corporations who pay for the advertising election campaigns of politicians, who pay huge sums to the Democratic National Committee and Republican national committees. And those two major parties' national headquarters, they divide that money to their favorite candidates who do the bidding of the big banks and corporations. So even though you cannot give more than $2,700 to your congressman or senator running for office, for example, these political parties can give whatever they want to their own favorite candidates. Of course, they act as agent of their owners, the big banks, the corporations, who own the two major parties' national committees. That's how it works. That's how it is. So we have a slavery system where a percentage of your money goes out of your pocket. And where does it go? Well, it goes in the hand of the government, who, of course, with that money, bails out the big banks, funds the military, the military contractors. Oh, they want to build tanks and planes and drones. Oh, yeah, they make a lot of money. And America, folks, spend way too much on military. Nobody needs to come and attack us. Nobody wants to. We can spend a quarter or even one-tenth of what the U.S. spends on military. One-tenth, folks. Got it? 10%. And no one in the world has the power or the might to attack us. We're nuclear armed, folks. We're island away from Russia and China in Europe by these big oceans called Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. They not overtake us. They fund the lazy government worker bureaucrats who have no competition, no incentive to work hard. They use your jealousy against the rich to hire a bunch of incompetent people who couldn't get a job in the private sector, or start your own business of any kind. So you just go collect a paycheck, and they say, "Ah, the sky will fall. People will die if you cut this government program, or cut this government spending, or get, oh, heaven forbid, ever get rid of the government program. Oh, gosh, people will die. The poor, the elderly will die. We can't help the minorities up from the poor condition they are. We have to have government workers get paid better than the average American so we can fix all of this." So the money's wasted. Let me tell you how bad government waste is, folks. My brother used to work for the state of South Carolina, a little agency. Southern state, small population, more traditional, close to the people. He worked in the computer department of this agency. And for year after years of not being able to get good jobs because he was not an American citizen. He had only a green card, a permanent resident. He finally got a good job, a decent paying job, safe job. He complained to me. He was so bored. He wanted to leave his job desperately because they all 10 of them had to pretend that they're busy, so they don't lose their job. They have to look and act like they're working, doing something, so they can justify their jobs. And the managers and higher-ups justify it to the politicians, to the people that we need taxes. We can't cut these programmer departments. I asked them one time, after, hey, how many computer programs can get the job of your 10 people done? How many did you think, folks? 7? 5? Nope. 3. He said 3 of us can get the job of all 10. See, most of them are doing nothing, folks. And the politicians and the leaders of these guys have these fiefdoms. They got to have more money. Waste. These people are not producing anything. They just take and take from us as slaves. Waste. Eventually, my brother left that job. He was so bored. He left that secure, decent paying government job, took a risk startup for minimum wage. Seriously, I'm not kidding. He was so bored. Now, my brother had more decency and honesty than, as you can tell, many government workers. But many of them just suck it. I was in an airplane next to a woman teacher. I told her about income tax fraud, and she told me straight to my face. I said, look, your money that's funding your schools is stolen from people against the law. You know what she told me? I don't care. She flat out told me she don't care. She was a miserable woman, desperate to make a living. By the way, a feminist sounded to me very much, for your information, that she didn't care about stealing. You know, as long as they can give, if it comes to me, it's good. It's collective slavery, collective stealing. So all the government programs are enslaving you, waste. We don't need it. We can do easily without 90% of any and all government programs and 90% of our military. So don't buy the lies of the communist Democrats that we need Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and all this stuff. Otherwise, old people eat dog food. Old people die on the streets of cancer, heart attack, and no medical care for them. Nonsense. And don't buy the Republicans' lies of we need to have a stronger army to defeat the enemies, Russia, China, Iran, every place else. You know, the all warmongering they do against North Korea, Iran, all that nonsense. It's all a bunch of lies, folks. To scare you. Scare you into remaining a slave. Works, doesn't it? They use your feelings against yourself to destroy you. Yep. That's why the road to hell is paved with good intentions, they say. So that's how they keep American people enslaved. Their belief that the money is going to do good, loving the old, the minorities who were enslaved in America before, you know, the disadvantaged, the crippled, you know, the disabled, the American Indians that were, you know, hurt by the white man, you know, the blacks, and keep Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea in check not to attack us. Like, why would they be stupid enough to want to attack us, to nuke them to death? Please. So, we do have the modern-day slavery, folks. But this one is based upon the faith of the American people in this system. And I tell you what, I'm going to show that to you and prove that to you. You've got to show this to your friends, okay? Because the IRS, folks, is mostly bluff. I'll prove it to you. Go to Fear of Law School's website, livefreenow.org. Go down to Education Materials tab on our website and go down to Eye Opening Education link. Click on the Eye Opening Education. There's a lot of stuff there, folks, you know, to read. And I really urge you, folks, you want to go ahead and read that, folks. Because there's just that there's a reason why that's the first thing I have on that page. Because it has so much good information that you really need to have that, okay? You need to have that basic information. But as you scroll down on there, folks, on that page, you will go down to the article that's in the blue link, and it says, the IRS continues to jail tax return filers. So go down to the paragraph that starts with, in blue ink, the IRS continues to jail tax return filers. Click on that article, folks. Okay? Now, you want to read that article, you know, but let's go to the end of the article first, because that ending is, I left the one of the best for the last. Near the end of that article is in bold a quote from a U.S. senator called Henry Belmont in 1969. Yes, that was 51 years ago. Dr. Henry Belmont. And here's what he said. This is a quote, folks. In a recent conversation with an official of the IRS, I was amazed when he told me, quote, now see, the senator not quoted this IRS official, okay? Fears of this country ever discovered that the IRS operates at 90% bluff, the entire system will collapse. Folks, the IRS is 90% bluff. I don't say that. This is the IRS official saying it. High-level official of the IRS. High-level official that give the report to U.S. senators. This is the deep state, folks, that you've been hearing about on Fox News and not everybody's talking about it on internet. It goes way back, folks. Before they came after Donald Trump in a phony Russia collusion conspiracy theory to rig the election. FBI and DOJ, these guys under Obama and Obama were trying to rig the election for Hillary Clinton. But before that, folks, they had rigged the whole system against the American people. Now the American people are waking up realizing that their government doesn't work for them. The U.S. government does not have the best interest of American people in mind or heart. That the people that occupy the powerful positions within government, within high levels of federal government bureaucracy, are populated by entirely a bunch of crooks and criminals graduated from Harvard, Yale, and other Ivy League Northeastern schools. Not just the U.S. Department of Justice, you've heard, not just the FBI, but the CIA, the NSA, and of course their money man, the deep state IRS management, and let's not forget last but not least, they appoint these crooked political wimpy lawyers who contributed money to politicians to get elected. And as their reward, that lawyer no longer has to chase an ambulance to earn a living, become a car accident, you know, lawyer, or go hungry. Now he gets a cushy job as a Your Honor, a federal judge, in black robe. All of a sudden, he's a Your Honor, that crook. And these guys, half of them used to be, by the way, about half, used to be U.S. Department of Injustice lawyers. That, you know that, federal judges? About half of them used to be former DOJ crooked U.S. attorneys. They graduated to judiciary. And from there, they go to court of appeal. And from there, they go send them to U.S. Supreme Court even. Yes, these judges have been involved in these conspiracy to enslave the American people, enslaving the American people, putting us in prison, whatever, to keep this money racket of their power and their masters in banks and big corporations going. So the modern American slavery system is like this. The banksters are at the top of the chain. Who's there? Well, who owns the head of the beast? The Federal Reserve System is headed by the New York Federal Reserve Branch. There's 12 branches, but that's the phony front. It actually is owned and controlled. All the key operations of it are run by the New York Federal Reserve, which is owned by the big banks, who are headquartered in Wall Street, which are Chase, Bank of America, Citicorp, and Wells Fargo, and recently joined by Goldman Sachs. The five heads of the beast. Yeah. Okay. So if you're doing business with those banks, you're doing business with the enemy. Try to minimize giving business to those crooks. Choose a smaller bank if you can, if you do banking, which most of you do. Then you got the military contractors, insurance companies, oil companies, drug companies, you know, with all the money powers. They get all the benefits of the corrupt system. Mega businesses. Underneath them is their servants, the people in government, the deep state management, and their minions in the lower and mid levels of government. And at the bottom of the totem pole is us, the average working American. Of course, because we, the average working American, would revolt against this corrupt system, this obvious slavery system, what they do is they rile up our poor brethren, poor Americans, minorities of any kind they could create. They create division amongst us, divide and conquer. That's right. They divide and conquer against us so that these people will fight for the slavery system. They deliberately promote the division we have in America. We have the feminism, woman against man. You have homosexual against straight. You have minority against white. You have 63 variety of LGBTQ against straight people. And who is the enemy? Of course, the white male who founded America. Who are the main workers? That's their plan. They buy and call the working man. There's a reason why most of you listening to this call are white males. There's a very good reason for that. Because your ancestors made America great. Your ancestors found America. So they deliberately have an attack on you. Everybody in America is good except white males. Productive white males. Divide and conquer is the way it works. They teach you to, oh, you know, to be, to say, oh, your ancestors were horrible people, terrible people. They're on television, Hollywood, they have all these lies that they hurt everybody. They were all just horrible people. Folks, let me tell you, the horrible people are in every walk of life. All kind of people are good and bad, race, ethnicity, sex, you name it. But all the propaganda out there, divide and conquer. So from the bottom, they're putting pressure on you, the working slaves. And it's our job, folks, to recognize what's going on and unite with each other. You. Yes, you that's listening to this commerce call, my friend. You. You need to unite with people like yourself. You are on your own, a lone wolf. Okay, you've been a lone wolf by yourself for a long time. You found out about this information on the internet through a friend or something. You cannot and should not work alone. You can be picked on and hurt and destroyed and back in the slavery system. You that have stopped fighting to pay income tax because you heard about it, you took a stand. Don't stay alone. Because again, one by one, they can pick on you. But united folks, like the founding fathers, we can be so much stronger. We can accomplish so much more together. We can protect each of us and all of us better. But they don't want you to do that. When you stay a lone wolf and don't unite, you're weakening yourself and protecting and strengthening your enemy. Folks, we got to learn from the founding fathers. They risked everything they had. Their homes, their property, their wives and children, their bodies, everything they owned. They got shot at and killed. but they have the courage to stand like men and fight like men and do something about it. And instead, what we got in America, so many of us are sold into this thing of that, you know, money is everything. But folks, money is not everything. That's true. But dadgummit, it's a tool of enslaving you. They steal your money to destroy you. Now, how dumb is that? How stupid is that? Now, if you're a super rich person like Bill Gates, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're too big and rich, and you know, you for the guys like that, they gotta stay in the system. I understand, because they're gonna make an example out of them. They're too visible. You know, they're gonna get those guys. Those guys cannot stop filing and paying income tax. The rich, the powerful, they'll destroy them, because they'll be a bad example for the rest of us slaves to follow. But you want to be free? You can. Every one of you could be your own Spartacus. And I mean for real. It is not just a metaphor, folks. I mean it for real. If y'all recognize that we all become Spartacuses by uniting and acting like a Spartacus. Thinking and acting like courageous men and uniting together. You see the movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson? You got to see it, folks. That tells you how courageous men live and fight. Okay, there was another movie called The Patriot by Mel Gibson. Oh, what a great movie. You haven't seen that movie? You got to go watch the movie The Patriot by Mel Gibson. You can see it, by the way, all for free on YouTube these days, I'm sure. You've got to see those movies, folks. And that's what's missing. Men standing up. And I mean men because, folks, that's our job. We men throughout the world have fought for freedom. There's a reason this movement is mostly men, because that's in our nature, to protect our wives and children. God made us stronger and the fighters to defend our families. If you're not fighting, we're not being men. We're not defending. We're not providing for our families like we're supposed to. Yes, we have a minority of women in this fight too, and I appreciate every one of them. But don't you fool yourself. Every war, every battle, and the course of human history has always been fought, lost, or won by courageous or weak men. And this war for freedom is no different. So, you ask, well, how can I unite, Paymon? How can I unite with other like-minded people? Well, Freedom Law School would appreciate if you consider uniting through Freedom Law School, folks. Freedom Law School has the track record of being at it for a long time, since 1996, over two decades. And the IRS, despite every attempt they could have done, every investigation they could have done under their own crooked system, with their crooked lawyers, with the crooked investigation agents they got, with the crooked judges on their side, they knew that Freedom Law School has a law and a fact on our side. And because we have a, thank God, we have a jury system. If they take me before a jury, that jury would see the truth. They will not dare take me and Freedom Law School try to close us up. They can't. After 13 and a half years, folks, they gave that fight up to try to shut down Freedom Law School. You don't believe me? Go to our victories tab. Go at livefreedom.org. Go to our victories tab. Okay, and below that, go to IRS Victories. I'm sorry, go to FLS Victories. I apologize. That's for our students. FLS Victories, and you see below that victory number 2. You see listed there, Freedom Law School beats IRS's bogus claim of being an abusive tax shelter promoter. click on that link, and then the paragraph opens up, and you see a link to the, in blue writing, that says the IRS has conceded being defeated, in blue. Click on that. And you see in that a letter from the IRS, July 11, 2016, in which is Roma Patel, IRS agent, tells me that they've closed their investigation to try to shut down me, Paymon, president of Freedom Law School. They don't mention Freedom Law School, but me, from doing what I do. Now, and of course, if you go below that, you see in big bold writing, Freedom Law School beats IRS's bogus claim of being an abusive tax shelter promoter. Click on that tab, and it takes you to another article. Okay, and that one takes you back to the original letters IRS wrote. You can click on those letters there. Okay, the letters that you see in there, the IRS, you click on those. IRS came after Freedom Law School way back then in 2003. Mm-hmm. 2003. Click on the IRS's initial investigation link. Click on that. And you see the documentation IRS in April of 2003 wrote to me first. God knows how many more years before that they had me under this investigation. But I know as far back as 1993, the IRS had me on the criminal investigation for over 2 years at least. So, folks, Freedom Law School is the only tax honesty freedom group in history movement ever to last so long, decades. And the founder and president of it not go to jail, not got an injunction to shut down your what you do. Because I got the law and the truth on our side. And I didn't fall for patriot mythology like UCC. I'm a national citizen of the United States, not a U.S. citizen. I'm a sovereign state citizen. I don't use zip code on mail. I'm under common law, not admiralty or pinch flag. I don't use zip code on my mail. I object to my name on capital letters. I'm not a corporate debt fictional entity. That's my straw man name in all caps and all kind of nonsense that you heard. All that nonsense, people that do that, they eventually, IRS close them all down. Every one of them, eventually. I did some of that back in early 1992 and 3 and 4. Then I graduated to the real law, and I started Freedom Law School 2 years later in 1996. So I would like to offer you Freedom Law School at this time is a source where you can come together. Also, I want to share with you another organization which I founded with some of my best, most knowledgeable friends in the freedom movement. Okay? Go check out IncomeTaxRipOff.org. IncomeTaxRipOff.org. Just like it sounds. And that's by my friends, Larry Beecraft, the foremost freedom lawyer in America. I've been doing this stuff since early 80s. Okay? And Joe Bannister, the former IRS special agent that quit the IRS. Exposed income tax fraud. Sean O'Connor and Dave Wellington, two of the most renowned, knowledgeable freedom paralegals in the country. By the way, they were two of my original teachers in the movement. Okay, so we are the five, the gang of five, you could say, going against the Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and their income tax system, and their Federal Reserve phony money system. We want to start a little revolution against them, and we want you to join our team, folks. Join hands with us. Freedom Law School has courses, has freedom packages to help protect you and defend you from these crooks. Income tax rip-off is just getting off the ground, folks. There's not much there on our website, but we'll get going, get on that email list. So, folks, there's a plan afoot, and that plan includes you. So I invite you to join hands with Freedom Law School and the IncomeTaxRipOff.org website, and let's have you live free now, and let's have America become a free country once again. With that, folks, I'm going to open up the call to your questions now. If you have a question, folks, you want to push 1 on your telephone keypad. I'll be happy to answer any kind of freedom issue you got. But to protect your privacy, remember, only give me your first name. Any IRS or government agent could be on this public call recording it and using it against you. So give me only your first name only. And let me know if you got Freedom Law School's free Freedom Education Package, and then go to ask any kind of a freedom issue question you have. Again, if you want to ask your question, you push 1 on your telephone keypad. That will let me know you have a question, and I will ask your question for you ahead of time. We start with a call from area code 917, then we have a call from area code 727. Then one from area code 704. 917. You got music on, my friend, your background. You need to turn that off. I cannot get your question. You got to turn that music off, my friend. So and turn it off. I'll come back to you later on. If you have your mute turned off, I'll come back to you. It's your question. Let's go to the caller from area code 727. What is your first
name? Yes, I'm here.
What's your first name, my friend?
Jay.
Hello, Jay.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. I have a few questions. I'm a little bit new at this. My situation, it's pretty straightforward. I have not filed any taxes in 20 years. I've been 1099 for many of those years. Actually, all of those years, and the information I'm receiving from the IRS I just feel bullied. They're coming after me for tax years 2005, 6, 8, and 9, I believe the years are, and they have no documentation, and so as a 1099 worker, I would have had multiple places that I would have, received a 1099 statement from that would have been sent into, I guess, the Department of Treasury or the IRS, and they have none of the records. I said, well, where did I work during those years? They don't have any of the information. So I said, well, I can't justify paying something when you don't have any of the information to substantiate that it's, I said, perhaps there was a mistake made. And they use this to levy my bank and intercept all of my income, and I'm on the verge of being homeless. And so he says, if you bring me your last three years of tax returns, 17, 16, and 15, we'll remove the levies. I said in my research that I've done, I understand. And I said I called Marco Rubio's office. I spoke with Amanda in the Orlando location. I said, Amanda, I said, I'm a bit confused here. I said, I'm doing all this research here. I said, I feel bullied by the IRS. I called Bill Nelson's office, Governor Scott's office, Gus Bilirakis' office. Nobody will help me. They said they don't help constituents. But she did at least tell me, she says, there is no law that requires Americans to file income tax. Then I said, how is it that I have a government that is able to steal from me and it's illegal? I said, I pointed out the levy form. I pointed out to her that, doing some research, I looked up the word levy and its origins. It began back in the 1300s. And, so I learned over the years. I mean, I think we all know what levy means. You levy something up, levy the rock up to get up the hill over hundreds of years later. And I just learned this evening, actually, watching one of the videos from you guys. back in 1868, the Congress passed a law that gave them the ability to change the definitions to words to suit their selfish, ways. I'm just flabbergasted. So I'm like, there's nothing. And so now when they're going to collect our, all of our ID through our biometrics and things, they'll be able to use that and say, oh, no, you committed that crime because we have your biometrics. So,
okay, well, I got your letter. Hold on.
Okay.
I got to get to other people's questions, my friend. Let's get the point of your call, which is you're under attack by the IRS. And by the way, every one of you, Lie J, can take advantage of the fact that you can fax, email, or U.S. mail up to 10 pages of your paperwork from the government agent or agency trying to harass you or steal your property or rights. And I will go on the conference call, go over it for free. And so Jay has done that in his case. And I'm looking at your paperwork that you sent us, Jay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I see what's going on here. The IRS claims. By the way, I'm Jay. I do this for your benefit and everybody else. That's how these calls are done. That's why I do it for free. So you can all benefit from it.
Thank you. Thank you.
They claim that Jay, for years 2005, 6, 8, and 9, owes the IRS almost $30,000. And they're attacking his checks from the insurance company. Okay. And they're taking 100% of that, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And that's what they did. And I can see that they took, I guess the statement from the company shows that they took about close to $3,000 of money from me that was turned over.
Yeah, they've taken a whole lot more than that. In fact, the money that they've taken, I mean, they've been doing this for a year and a half. I've been just speechless. They take it from my bank. When I called up my bank, I said, I'm looking here at section 6331. Section B is, I said, where's section A? I asked the bank for the court order, and this is significant for everybody to know. My bank, SunTrust, stated to me that they have a special verbal agreement with the government that they do not have to have a court order. So it's just further proof to me that there is no law that requires Americans to file income tax.
Hold on. Stop talking, my friend. You realize that you talking will not help you? You need to let me talk to you, right?
Okay.
Okay. First thing I recognize, my friend, is that in your situation, you're the one seeking knowledge. I'm the one with knowledge to give you. So we got, this. Sometimes, believe me, I'm a listener. Sometimes I'm a talker. I'm a talker tonight.
Got you.
All this stuff, you tell me something new I don't know, I'm a listener. Because I want to learn about new stuff all the time. So let me tell you about your situation. First, I got a question to ask you. When did you hear about Freedom Law School? How did you come across Freedom Law School?
Through searching on the internet. I literally just came across it by searching on the internet. And I took a risk by calling. I seen there was a local, 813 number.
Recently?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yep. Now, you said you haven't filed income tax for 20 years, right?
That's correct.
Is this the first time that the IRS has attacked you like this?
Yes. It started about a year
ago. Listen. Just give me some yes/no answers, my friend. Believe me, just trust me. I know where I'm going with this. Like you have a plan to help you and everybody else. Okay.
Okay.
So for all of you out there who are not sure about filing for income tax, you see one man here on the phone that got left alone for 20 years. I'm not filing for income tax. After 20 years, they finally got a cop to him. So what does that tell you, number one? That tells you the IRS is not that God, all-knowing, all-seeing God, that automatically we just come and a year or two after you then file, come take all your stuff. They're not that powerful. One. You see that? For years they left him alone. Okay. Just because IRS, as I told you, is staffed by a bunch of incompetent people that many of them hate their job. They're, they're disordered. They don't have enough people. And you see that on our website on that eye-opening education page. Read those links from there. Read the comments. Now, so that's one lesson. It confirms what I've told you, folks. Did I tell you folks all tonight? you have a lot more power, and the IRS is not as powerful and sharp on things as you think they are. Here's one example you see for yourself. For 19 years, they left them alone. But also proves my other point. My other point for all of you is Jay was a lone wolf out there. He was on his own saying, hey, go along. Leave me alone, IRS. I'm good. I don't need to go look for anything else. I don't need to research anything else. I don't need to join any organization, any other group. I'm just on my own, living as best as I can. Now I realize, Jay, you're not a millionaire. You don't have a huge amount of money. Okay? I realize that. Okay? And living in, you know, in Tampa area, making under $50,000 a year gross is not a huge amount of money. I know you're not a millionaire. I got that, okay? And I know most Americans don't make a huge amount of money. But still, the point of it is, though, folks, you can't wait. If you picked on, like Jay did, then come to Freedom Law School and say, help me, get me out of this situation. Because at this point, they got Jay by the cojones. Okay, they got the weak spot. They put the source of income in the file and say, you're going to pay or you're going to file. If you file and confess you owe more money, the more recent years for 15, 16, 17, because if he files for 15, 16, 17, guess what? He's going to owe the IRS more than the $30,000 that are after him. They will temporarily lift it off of him to give him a little breathing room. Jay will come for breath. They left my commission checks alone. Ooh, some air. And then they force him to file the 1040 forms to confess you owe the IRS more money. And once that happens, then they come back. Okay, Jay, we're ready now. We're going to put your head underwater once again now that you admit you owe us $50,000. Not $30,000 you owe now. Now it went up to $50,000. The penalty and interest, whatever you would owe for 15, 16, 17. Now this time we're going to come. Take what you got, everything, leave you on a basic poverty level, and now there is no more temporary reprieve for you. Okay? So that's even worse. What they're going to do is they're going to force you to file tax returns, and they're going to leave you enough for rent, basically enough for rent, car insurance, some cheap food diet, food budget. Nothing quality, cheap food, get ready to eat lots of spaghetti and top ramen noodles, okay? Doesn't really give you much food budget allowance.
Yeah.
Allowance for everything and gas and all necessities of life and to pay the IRS, okay? That's the situation basically facing Jay. So, Jay, I got bad news for you, my friend. You waited too long to come to me to help you clean, to help you easy to avoid problems, because the old saying that says an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, it is a very true quote. It applies in this case. You know, I have helped a lot to avoid this happening for Jay. Had he joined Freedom Law School, come one of our students, join the Simple or the Royal Freedom packages, I would have him do a lot of stuff that would have avoided this problem. Now, for many years, he was left alone. Great. He would have paid into a program to support America, support freedom, support a like-minded people who are under attack now. And eventually, if and when he came under attack, like now, we would have very likely avoided it to begin with. There's a lot of stuff to beat it. Or minimize it from ever getting this far, if not avoided it altogether by doing our prevention. So now, Jay, that's all passed for you, but not for everybody else. So for all of you can learn from that. That's why you want to get listed in law school now. We can work with you folks, any of our courses, student packages, if we're half or third down and make payments. It's not about the money. Don't complain about the money if you don't have it. If you lost, we'll work with you. If you're great, you care about freedom, I'll work with you. If you're committed to freedom, I'll work with you. Don't let money be your master. Okay, you can make it work for you. I can work. That's just a tool. Okay, that we got to work with. The main thing is your desire to be free and not be a lone wolf.
I don't.
Now,
yeah, I mean, I
for
want
Jay
to
now,
help.
Let's get back to Jay now. For you, Jay, my friend, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your situation is ugly. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have a silver bullet. All I can do for you at this point is to minimize the damage. To minimize the damage, my friend, I got to go over details, minutia of your personal life, financial life, work life, career life, asset life, every aspect of your personal, financial, business, planning, work, experience, life. I got to go over all that with you privately. Not
okay.
On this conference call, like a radio program. So
sure.
I can tell you privately, discreetly, what are your options? And then you can intelligently evaluate to see which one's better for you. I'll tell you what I would do, and I think the answer would be pretty obvious. But then again, to a certain degree, some of those options depend upon you and your current circumstances and plans as well. So it's not always cut and dry as much as you think it may be. Okay? Now, as much as you heard right now, my friend, you cannot afford not to get that private one-on-one consultation with me. Because I need to see your paperwork. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
It's going to cost you $240. I know you don't have much money, but you got to get it somehow. It's only $240. Not $3,000 or $10,000 or more of these so-called tax freedom people on television, radio advertise to you.
Correct.
All of them, what they do, they have you file a tax return, give them all your financial information, and make a payment plan with the IRS. Okay, or file a tax return and then make a deal with the IRS. They might give you a break, but you have to file and pay on time for 5 years. You file for the current years, and they might give you a break. But you have to file and pay for 5 more years of slavery. Otherwise, the deal is off. That's what they all do. I'm telling you up front. So tomorrow or day after, you're going to call these pays in a dollar people you hear about on TV, radio. You call and tell them that, hey, Freedom Law School telling me all you do is help me file a tax return, give all my information, financial, for IRS, everything. Then you come up with a payment program. If I qualify for that, pays in a dollar program, any kind of a break, I have to file and pay on time for 5 years. 5 years of slavery on top of that. Otherwise, the deal is off. No breaks. Is that true? Is that what you do? Confront him with that, Jay, when you call him tomorrow. Because I know you're going to call, as you should. If you force him on that, square that tax help guy on internet or on television, radio, you found, he have to tell you, yeah, of course you have to file a tax return. Anybody knows that. Anybody should file a tax return. Of course that's the first thing everybody does. And you have to give a financial information. Well, of course. That's the only way the IRS can come up with a payment plan for you and let you not die. Leave you enough for basic survival. And of course the IRS will not give you a break, even if you qualify, without keeping you slave for 5 more years. That's the way the satanic system of the IRS works. And look, that's all I can do for you. Yeah. So I want you tomorrow, call all these guys. Do all your calls in one day. Get them on the phone and confirm with that question. And get it verified. I'm telling you, it's a fact. So that means,
let me write that.
Guess what? That's your option. I can do those two for you as well. But you have actually a little bit more other options, which I would not want to discuss publicly. Okay?
Okay. So can I write that question down?
Sure. What else? Go ahead.
Can I write that question down that you just told me to ask?
Yeah, hold on. No, I got to tell people the question. What you can do, the recording of this call will be available on our YouTube channel, on our website, on the weekly calls link. within half hour, it's posted on our website for free. So you called in about maybe an hour and, you know what, 20 minutes after the call started, forward, an hour, 20 minutes, an hour, 25 minutes, and listen to what I told you again, and you can rewind it as many times as you want, what I just told you the next few minutes, and the last few minutes, so you could really get it down and do it that way, so I can help other people on this call as well, my friend, without waiting.
Yes, sir. And I will give you a call. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
So do that.
Thank you.
Then
appreciate
we get together and I can see what's good, because there's actually more things you can do without having to spend thousands. And you know, one guy called me the other day. I'm not kidding you. Yesterday, this guy called me, the IRS, claimed he owed them $3,700. Right?
Right.
He paid these tax professionals $3,500. And all they did for him, having filed for more years than he was the IRS, $20,000. Can you believe that? You know, look, you have a $3,700 problem after many years of not filing. The car with you only $3,700, and you paid these tax professionals $3,500. You could have just paid the IRS off almost, and then got you deep in trouble. You know,
so
but you need to check that out first, because you don't know me. From Adam, I could be a rip-off artist. I could be a con man. I could be the greatest thing since sliced bread that you found, but you don't know that. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Okay? Check out everybody else.
Yeah.
They contact
God
the law school ASAP, by telephone or in person. I got to see your paperwork ASAP. So we can take action to minimize this hemorrhaging you got going on. Okay, Jay?
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, very much. You're
welcome. All right. Have a good night. Let's go to our next caller we have now from area code 704. What is your first name, my friend?
Eric.
And did you receive a free freedom education package yet, Eric?
I am the one that called you the other day that you did that $3,500 thing and all that. I'm the crazy one with that.
Oh, the gentleman that I was talking about, that.
Yeah,
$3,700 problem.
You paid the tax professional
$3,500, and they had you file tax returns for the last few years that you owe them $19,000, to be more exact. Right?
Yeah.
That was you,
so what
right?
I did with them. So what I did is I called the people back and said, y'all got me more trouble than that. Y'all got me in before I got in there. So now they give me a refund on that, but now I'm stuck with the tax. But they wanted to do a deal. They wanted me to do a deal with them from 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, and with the IRS, and pay $640 a month for 72 months. That's what the deal is. That's the deal. Or you can go for $180. $182 partial payments for 182 months monthly until balance expires. Lien will be filed. That's what it says on there. Lien will be filed. Payment until balance expires. Lien will be filed. So I got this right now. So now I'm filed. Now they filed. But all the weird thing is when they did the 1040s, the jobs they did, it was wrecked on the 1040s. All the 1040 had me sign. It didn't have the job that I worked at. The information was wrong. All that stuff. So I don't know what that is on that. Can I get out of this? So I'm stuck.
Well, you could get out of the trouble you got, my friend, but we could minimize the damage, just like you heard me tell Jay. So just like him, my friend, you were a lone wolf. So many years left you alone. Unfortunately, by yourself. You had no guidance. You don't know what to do. You don't know what not to do, unfortunately. No one was there to prevent you from making mistakes. So you made a mistake. It's done. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just believing everybody else hopefully learns from your lesson, my friend. I'm saying this for them, not to make you feel bad. Because I feel for you, Eric. I really do. I really feel your pain, my friend. But on top of that,
right now, they are garnishing my check. I didn't do it in 2005. They want me to go ahead and make this deal with them. So they garnish my check right now. So I only make $230.77 a week. That's it. That for now until I do this deal. And I haven't did the deal with them yet. I said, no, I'm not doing that deal with them until I find some other ways and stuff. So that's when I came on online and your stuff. I've seen a couple of other guys, but they wanted me to do all kind of other stuff, and they called me from Germany and all this stuff. But I heard your station, and I said, let me go ahead and call you up. And it just so happened when I called, you was on the phone right there. I talked to you.
Yes, that's right. UNESCO, that's right. Well, again, as much as it hurts you, my friend, right now, but you got to, get me with the one-on-one consultation, because I got to see what you got going on. I mean, sometimes people, they just go get another job. That's one option. Some people start their own business. Bankruptcy is an option, not right away, but it could be done later on. But there's certain restrictions on how you can bankrupt taxes, when you can bankrupt taxes. It's an art, for example. So there's a lot of different options that you've got to consider to minimize the damage. I'm not going to lie to you like all these other people and say, oh, I can take care of it for you. No, they got you in a bad spot. But we got to get the bar of the 240 if you have to for consultation one-on-one. I'll get with you on the phone and with all your paperwork in my hand already in advance and see what's going on, evaluate it, because you want to know whatever step you're going to take is the best one you could make under the circumstances, period. You want to have a peace of mind.
Yes.
That you have no doubt that, look, given the situation, you did the best you could do, and you're going to go forward, fix this as best as possible, minimize the damage as much as possible, and go on with the rest of your life. Okay?
How can I get – so I got to pay this whole lien out then?
No, there's ways we can handle that. But again, you don't have to pay $650 for, 6 years. But that's what they want you to do, of course, But we got to discuss, your different options. All the stuff I mentioned to you and more, I cannot go over you in detail in this conference call. It'll take too long. And it's not detailed to you. It's not private, my friend. Okay? This kind of stuff should be only discussed privately with the one-on-one of your situation. Then we can discuss privately, okay?
Got you.
All right. Thank you for being on the call,
the
Eric.
When is the best time to call?
You're welcome. I'm glad you liked it, my friend. Thank you. I try to help everybody as best as I can. Okay. Folks, one moment, please. I'll be right back. By the way, so as far as when you can call Freedom Law School, Eric, it's 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Freedom Law School is open. Anybody, any volunteer, they always on the phone will answer you, tell you how you can get the paperwork to us by fax or email of your situation, everything that's relevant, along with the 240 cash to Freedom Law School for one-on-one private consultation. Just call 9 to 6 Eastern Time Zone during the weekend, my friend. Okay? Okay, so with that, folks, does anybody else have a question? If so, please push 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will let me know you have a question, and I will answer your question. Otherwise, we'll keep this call as short as possible for those who will listen to a recording of it later on. They don't get scared. It's a long call. We want to keep it short for everybody. But we do have a caller right now. Mary Code 614. And my friend, what is your first name?
Yes, hi. Piotr.
Joseph?
Piotr. Piotr.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one more time, please?
Yeah, Piotr.
Would you spell that, please?
Yeah, P-Y-O-T-A-R.
Okay, very good. Piotr, very interesting name you got, my friend.
Yeah, well, thank you. All right. Basically, my question is not really related to regarding taxes, but basically it's regarding, I don't know, have you heard of anything about smart meters? that's a utility company, Electric, is trying to install them on homes. I just wanted to get your opinion on them. I heard there basically there's a health risks with it as well as a fire hazard. Basically, a lot of them are catching fire. I just didn't know. Basically, Electric utility companies are kind of forcing them, and it seems like it's like invasion of privacy as well.
Yes.
Any thoughts on
you're
that?
You're right about that. Basically, the smart meters are potentially very dangerous, potentially very harmful to you. They can catch fire, potentially. And some people are extra sensitive to smart meters. So if you have them near you, like it's behind your bedroom where you sleep 8 hours a night, that could really damage you, make you sick. Some people are not as sensitive to it. Yes, and you can avoid them. Remove them, it could be done also. It's a little bit harder. I've studied this issue a little bit, you know, and I'm not an expert on that subject, although I get some friends who are more knowledgeable about that issue. But yes, you want to go online and look up, you know, how remove smart meter, okay? I would type that in your computer search engine. Go to DuckDuckGo.com. Don't go to Google. Google is the enemy. The spy on us. Use them as little as you can. DuckDuckGo.com. Just like it sounds. DuckDuckGo.com. It's a very good search engine. And they don't spy on you. How to remove smart meter. Okay. And click on that. And a bunch of websites come up. YouTube. Videos and other people talk about that. How can I get rid of my smart meter? Others, you know, and just search and contact some of those organizations that specialize in that area, my friend. And I wish you most success because, yes, there are things the smart meters are good to avoid and good to remove properly, you know, if you have it in your place.
Okay. Also, one more thing. My friend actually today, he got a call. I mean, he never had any situation or anything with IRS, but he got a call today and basically left a message. I don't know if it's from them or is it a scam, but basically they're saying there's like a warrant for his arrest and he needs to call them. But it sounds like a robot recorded voice message. I don't know if that's legit or is it just a scam. He said he got a call today.
Those are robocalls or humans calling you from India. You know, saying you're under indictment, you've been charged, the IRS is going to come and arrest you. If you don't come and pay up, they're going to take your stuff, go to jail, you need to pay us now, make a deal now. You know, so it's a scam. Don't worry about it. That's been going on for, gosh, at least 70 years. It won't go away because Americans are so deathly afraid of the IRS. And these Indians discovered that. That, you know, there's so many Americans, suckers, afraid of the IRS deathly. We could fool a small percentage of them to give us money. So, IRS will not call you, okay? You don't know who's on the phone.
Okay.
Real IRS will not call you. They will write you a letter, okay? They may in a rare case visit you at your house or work, but they write letters. IRS doesn't just call you out of blue. They just don't do that, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Bayman. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Okay, folks, you see, that's what it calls it for free. Why? Because many of you ask good questions, common questions that many people in the same or similar situations have. And this way I get to address those questions and issues that are really happening in the lives of American patriots like you. So what you want to do is go to our website at livefreenow.org and listen to the previous conference calls of Freedom Law School, the weekly calls, and look at the one that's a subject that's of interest to you and learn from that. Now, in the question and answer sessions, gosh, all kind of different questions come all the time. And I have no idea who's going to call with what kind of questions. But You know, you're going to find a lot to learn from those as well, my friend. So do that. And, folks, again, learn from others' mistakes. You know, there's a saying, you know, I told my son, that, you got to learn from your mistakes. And he says, well, Dad, a wise man learns from his mistakes. A wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. I was proud of my son. He's saying that on his own, sharing that wisdom with his father. He's grown up. I'm glad to hear that. Folks, that's what you want to do. You heard Eric's situation. You heard Jay's situation. Don't be in their situation. Get with Freedom Law School's courses. Start anywhere. Even $100 will get you our first course. $100, that's it. Send that in the mail. Along, I want the level one course. You get that level one course with money back guarantee. You can make a payment for the other 220 balance of the course. Okay? It's just, you should have this information to keep you from making basic mistakes most Americans make and make sure you take many of the proper steps you should take to protect your rights, your freedom, and your property. Start anywhere. Everyone of you can afford that. It's just a matter of priorities, of course. So start on your weight education. Get with Freedom Law School. Go up to our Simple and Royal Freedom Package eventually. That's where you want to be. Protected. Not a lone wolf. Said you can not only have worked with like-minded freedom-minded Americans to restore freedom in America, but protect yourself at the same time. So with that, folks, I bid you good night and look forward to being back with you again next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.